For our second reading, friends, I'm turning back to the Gospel of Mark, beginning in first in Mark 11 and then Mark 14. These are actually both of the usual Mark readings for the day, but rather than pick between the two, I'm doing both. I think they help flesh out the larger story. Mark 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say, 'This, the Lord needs it,' and will send it back here immediately." They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "Why are you doing? What are you doing untying the colt?" They told him what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Mark 14. It was 2 days before the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. For they said, "Not during the festival, or there may be a riot among the people." Verse 10. Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. When they heard it, they were greatly pleased and promised to give him money. So he began to look for an opportunity to betray Jesus. Have you ever had to make a truly difficult choice? I'm guessing that you have, because I think that's just the kind of way life is. Maybe you've had to move somewhere that you were not so crazy to go. Maybe you had to take care of someone that meant a big life change for you. Maybe you had to change a career in a way that was frustrating. Maybe you had to face a personal challenge to health that was difficult to accept. Maybe you had to move a loved one somewhere that they really didn't want to go. Well, I hope you made the better decision, but I'm sure that whatever you decided, it was not easy. Well, today is the truly hard choice for Jesus. The hardest that he has to make. Does he ride into Jerusalem as the Messiah, or does he just stay away and continue doing his traveling rabbi thing? On the face, it might not seem like such a big choice, like such a big decision. People really didn't go to Jerusalem all that often, all the time. That was the big city. Jesus was from a good distance away, northern Jerusalem, or northern Israel. And in a world without good transportation, good roads, and you had to worry about bandits, he had been to Jerusalem at least once, that's recorded, notably when he was a child. And John's gospel has him there at the beginning of his ministry. But this was not a common thing to do. It wasn't like going to Richmond or even D.C. This would be more akin to traveling to California or Hawaii without planes. It would be a big deal. It'd take a lot of planning and a lot of effort. Many people never made it there in Jesus' day, but this particular day was a big day for the people to be there. Jesus made the excruciating decision to join them. Why? Why was this a big day, and why was this decision so hard? As Jewish holidays go, this week is a huge one. It's the Passover week. Passover was like their Independence Day, sort of like the 4th of July, but it was even bigger because without it, they would have remained slaves in another country. Back in Exodus, if you remember, God directly intervened through Moses to lead the people out of Egypt from a terrifying situation. It's called Passover because the spirit of death passes over the houses with the lamb's blood on the door, signifying that they're part of the people of Israel. Houses without the lamb's blood suffered terrible loss. This was the straw that set the Israelites free from Pharaoh's iron grip. And this today, this was the celebration that many, many years later, maybe 14 or 15 centuries, that brought the crowds to Jerusalem. The best 4th of July fireworks show that I've ever seen was in Washington, D.C., there on the lawn, on the mall. It was amazing. You would expect a great show like that there. The Jews would expect a most special Passover in the capital of the nation where the temple was. That same temple that Jesus said he would rebuild in 3 days after it was torn down. No, this week was not going to go well for him. But this day, this Sunday before Passover, the first day of the week, was a day to look for the Messiah to enter at that place. That's why there were throngs of people there to wave. That's why it was a Messiah welcome day. People seen as the Messiah were not that uncommon back then. You might have someone identified as a potential every year or every few years. There was someone who was notable for one reason or another. They might be a good preacher who said things people wanted to hear. But, somebody who also had no problem condemning Rome for all of their brutal oppression. That's helpful. Messiahs were not terribly rare. But if they wanted to take the next step to lead the people to revolution, they would enter Jerusalem from that place on that day. Riding a colt just sweetened the deal because that was one way Solomon was recognized as king, when he rode his father's mule into town. And also, when Jehu was made king, the people laid their garments on the road for him to enter on. This was all supercharged kingly statements. The people were right there, right then, ready to make Jesus king and to go to war against the Romans for their freedom. But that wasn't even the worst part of that decision to enter Jerusalem. Though that would be why the people turn on Jesus in a few days. He let them down by not lighting the powder keg. Maybe that's why Judas betrays him. That's one idea. But the truly difficult choice was something else. Remember that lamb at the Passover? That lamb who met their untimely death at the very first Passover, whose blood went around the door? Well, you see, people still picked a lamb to cook every year to eat for Passover. It was a required part of the meal. A year-old lamb was to be chosen without blemish to be eaten by the family for the Passover meal. But its blood was offered by the priest at the altar. They didn't need to paint the doorways with the blood anymore, but they were supposed to offer the blood as a sacrifice at the altar. There were some priestly jobs back then that I'm very grateful that we no longer perform. It was much bloodier work back then. And I'm sorry if that's all a bit gruesome, but that was life. And they were following the directions from the beginning. Anyway, they needed a spotless lamb. Gotta have the lamb. Everyone needed a lamb. Well, this day was also Lamb Selection Day. This was the day that the people were all supposed to go pick a lamb to sacrifice and to eat later this week. And you have to wonder, how many people were there celebrating Jesus and what he might do? And they were thinking to themselves, oh, I need to make sure I grab a lamb after this for Passover, after we're done here. What they did not realize was that they were doing, they're selecting their true lamb right then and there. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who came to take away the sins of the world, was riding into Jerusalem for this reason. This is why he had a hard choice to make. Riding in as king meant he would have started a war and a revolution, becoming very powerful until they were all defeated by the Romans, which they would have done eventually. And Rome did eventually just destroy Israel. That would have been bad. But riding in as lamb meant one truly terrible end. He would be sacrificed to save the people. There was only one way that choice could play out. He was riding to his cruel death. The lamb was not treated well. It was brutal. It would be the same for him. This was a very hard choice. The hardest. How did you weigh your choice? When you had to make your decision, did you make your choice by what you thought was easiest? Did you pick the easiest option? Or maybe you were trying to go by what you thought was right? Or did you choose based on what was loving? Most loving. Hopefully, that goes hand in hand with each other, right and loving. Hopefully right, what is right and what is loving go together. The right choice should always literally be the most loving choice. But there's always another option. Maybe you didn't think you had a true choice, but you did. You know, you could have gone another way. You could have, you know, it might have gone badly to abandon people, to flee, to just leave. It might have meant the end of important relationships or the loss of dreams, but there's always a choice. You made a difficult decision that you have lived with the rest of your life. Perhaps you had to make a number of difficult decisions along the way, and Jesus understands that. When he set his face to Jerusalem, he started a ball rolling that would not stop until one thing happened. He also made the right, loving choice. He gave everything for his people, for us among many. Even more, he made this choice without knowing if it would even work. His sacrifice was secure, sure. But would people rise up and follow him? We can debate the finer points of predestination, but there's nothing making us follow in Jesus' steps. There's nothing forcing us to work for the kingdom of God here and now. There's nothing compelling us to be followers of Jesus. His plan was to free us to change the world as much as to be with him forever. That's why the disciples became apostles. They wanted to change the world by sharing good news. Jesus made his decision. He made his choice. In order to go through with it, he needed to steel his nerves. That passage from Isaiah is paired with today because of this language. He set his face like flint in the face of that brutality. Even though it was going to be beyond harsh, he had to go through with it. Isaiah did not have Jesus specifically in mind, but his words certainly seem to be useful here. The suffering servant in Isaiah's day had very tough choices too. I have no idea how your decisions turned out. I don't know. We're still working on a few of our own. As a nation, we have some tough ones coming up, and there are tough ones right now that need to be addressed. The loving choice is the right choice. I am worried about people in places of unrest and war and violence. I'm very worried about our future here, about what changes our nation in the coming months might be. I'm looking at some life changes too as our youngest heads off to college, but there's always a choice. Even though Jesus was staring disaster in the face, he made the choice because it was the loving thing to do. He made that choice because that was God's love working through him. It is no different today. We are also the body of Christ for a reason, friends. We can choose to work out God's love around us in this world or not. We may not always get it right. We may find ourselves in some kind of disaster. But if we genuinely choose what is right, the good, the loving, then we will be following in the steps of our Lord. To whom be the glory. Amen.